got my dice and I got my friends. We're going on a quiz that never ends. You know when there is trouble abound, me and my crew will always be around. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Lone Gunman, and it's time for the Gamers Haven Podcast with your hosts, Ethan, Jeremy, and Nathan.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
Well, this is Ethan with the Gamers Haven Podcast, and I have the pleasure to have on the line someone I've been trying to get on the show for about a year and a half. I have Mr. Jim Butcher. How are you doing today, Jim?
Good. I'm doing good.
Excellent. Now, for those of you who've been living under a rock for the last 10 or 15 years and haven't heard of one of Jim's various works is the Dresden Files, books. And he has a new book coming out. Is it July 26th?
Yes.
Excellent. And that is, I've lost count. How many?
This will be book 13 of the Dresden Files.
Oh, how appropriate. Okay. And that's ghost.
Yeah, I thought so.
And it's ghost story. Yes. And also, Jim is also known for having written the Codex Alera series as well. So.
Yes.
I want to thank you for being on the show today. We know you've got a busy schedule, obviously, because you churn out books like every week, it seems. And
apparently, yeah.
So I just want to thank you for being on the show.
Oh, sure.
Well, to start off, as Gamers Haven is a predominantly a gaming podcast, I was wanting to get just a little bit about your gaming background. But how did you, as I understand it, you do a lot of LARPing, but have you done the tabletop stuff?
Oh, of course.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah, I picked up D&D back when it came in that red box.
Ah, yes.
When I was in first grade. So.
Excellent, excellent.
And since then, D&D, Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay was the next game I really started picking up, and it's still my favorite system. But I've also played Cthulhu and GURPS and Chill and a million different systems.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. Well, obviously, gaming is has a lot to do with not only Codex Alera, but Dresden Files. I mean, there's a lot of common elements in there. I mean, there is obviously a Dresden Files RPG that's, I believe, won the Origins Award this year.
Yeah, it did. They were really excited about it, too.
Yeah, and it's up for an Emmy at Gen Con this year as well. So
I believe so.
And that's all done by the Evil Hat guys, right? Fred Hicks
exactly,
and the Fate System.
I can't take credit for any of that.
Sure.
they did a mile and a half of work on the system. They really threw themselves heart and soul into it, and it really shows in their production.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's definitely one thing that they captured with the RPG that you do well with that with the books, the Dresden books, is the voice of Dresden is sort of really, really prevalent in there, and it makes it feel like it fits with the with the universe that you've created inside your books.
Oh yeah, they've researched the books. They probably know the Dresden Files better than I do at this point. So.
Well, speaking of the Dresden Files, how did gaming sort of influence your creativity in creating the Dresden Files and Codex Alera?
Oh, probably mostly by just by hanging around with gamers. Gamers tend to be the more intelligent, creative people around. Otherwise, they wouldn't need to make up, be so bored with this world that they have to make up whole imaginary ones to go play in. So, I mean, and really, that's really all I do. The way I think of the Dresden Files books is they're kind of a game that I GM in my head with myself. you know, I sort of write down everything that happens, and that's pretty much my job.
Excellent, excellent. Because speaking as a lifetime gamer, I mean, a longtime gamer, really, for me, is reading the Dresden books, and I'm a recent convert. It was in the reading pile for many years, and then I discovered the absolute fantastic audiobooks that they put out of them, and devoured those. So I can definitely tell, as a guy who's familiar with D&D and the World of Darkness stuff, that it really feels... it's hard to put it, but Dresden makes a lot of decisions that gamers would make in that situation.
Yeah, Dresden as a wizard, I know a lot of times wizardly characters come off kind of shaman-y or with some, you know, deeply spiritual connection to this quasi-sentient sort of magic that does things on its own, and that wasn't the kind of wizard I wanted Dresden to be. I kind of wanted him to be a wizard who was more like a plumber.
Sure.
You know, there are certain rules, this is the way things work, and it's this kind of energy, and he knows how to work with it, and it's kind of what his trade is.
Mm-hmm.
And so he makes all his decisions, he tries to base his decisions as much as possible on reasonable common sense. So he does run into, he does have many of the solutions that gamers have.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I'm going to ask you a quick question that I know some gamers probably want to know, is have you ever played Dresden in a game?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I haven't even played the Dresden Files RPG. Are you kidding? There's just no way. I mean, if I'm the player in that game, what GM is going to be able to really reasonably overrule me? Yes, it is this way in the game, and if necessary, I'll write it that way in the next book. I would be the worst power gaming twink player, and as a GM, it's too much like work. You know, so all these other people are just enjoying the hell out of the game, and I'm ripping stuff off from it left and right for a kind of a steampunk game that I run at home. But I'm not the guy who can enjoy it. You know, I do very much enjoy seeing other people get to play in that world and get to have a good time.
Excellent. Now, of course, this all sort of leads up to the new Dresden book, A Ghost Story, is coming out July 26th. It's sort of the big thing right now.
Yeah.
And that's it's obviously, as you said, book 13. For our listeners, what can you tell us about the next installment and why that we should be excited about it?
Well, at the conclusion of book 12, Dresden got shot and fell into Lake Michigan and started moving down a dark tunnel towards the light. Everybody was just furious at me that I would end the book on a cliffhanger like that.
Mm-hmm.
To which I can only reply that technically it is not a cliffhanger; it's the conclusion to that story. You know, Dresden
right.
set out to rescue his daughter, even if it killed him, and it did. The end.
Yep.
The next book, though, is being as it's Harry Dresden, nothing comes easy, not even dying.
Yeah.
That's one of my rules for the universe for Dresden, nothing comes easy. So
yeah.
In this book, he is actually rounded up in the afterlife and sent back to Earth to solve his own murder before he can move on to whatever comes next. But unfortunately, his body's not available, and he gets sent back as a spirit. So he basically has to follow all the rules that ghosts do.
Nice.
So Dresden gets to be a ghost in his own town trying to solve his own murder without any of his magic, or there's hardly anyone who can even see him or hear him, much less help him out. So he has a tough road to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Big surprise there.
No. When you first started developing the Dresden books many years ago, how did you sort of start setting rules for that universe? I mean, did you just iron them out all ahead of time, or did you come up with it as you went along?
I got it ironed out pretty well ahead of time. The first thing I did was first of all, I had to decide on what kind of magic I wanted. And as I said, I didn't want that kind of quasi-sentient magic or the overly magic where if you move your wand just like this and say the words exactly right, then something happens. I didn't want pop machine magic where you put a couple quarters in and something comes out.
Sure.
I wanted magic to actually resemble real life energy. So, as my model, I took a lot of Newtonian physics to use for my explanations of magic.
Sure.
So, energy cannot be created or destroyed. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's the kind of stuff I wanted to keep.
Excellent.
After that, I said, okay, that's the base I'm coming from. Now I want to go out and look at what do people actually believe about magic.
Mm-hmm.
People who actually incorporate this into their religion, their belief system, what are they? And I went and read a ton of books. And it was sort of from all of that, and then, kind of coming from the physics-based model, and then just stuff that I thought would be dramatic and cool. That's what I started putting together so that I could understand how things would work in the story world.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, in developing the Dresden world and whatnot, I mean, sort of steering this back towards the gaming aspect of it, did you find there was any sort of, cause, I mean, it sounds like you've done your share. You mentioned you have a steampunk world that you sort of role play in. In developing the Dresden world and in other worlds, have you learned anything, or do you have any great advice for people who want to build worlds, not just for literature, but for just for their home campaign?
I mean, well, for as far as other writers go, I recommend that they run campaigns in their story world, because it doesn't matter how much you prepare for a campaign, the players will not go the way that you expect them to go, because players just don't do that. They're not capable. And so what that means is they'll wander off in some completely random direction that you had no intention for them to go there, and you'll be frantically building the world about two steps in front of them,
right?
Which I think is fantastic exercise for the imagination. As far as gamers go, when you just remember the really key thing to remember is stimulus response. When something happens, it causes a response. When the players do something, it's got to change the world and the way the people around them see them and act and behave. If the players have the sense that the things that they do matter, because when they take an action, there's a response that comes back from the story world for it, then that creates a much greater sense of reality than if they don't. So if Harry, or if Dresden goes out and winds up starting a war with vampires, all kinds of consequence has to come flowing back from that, and directly on his head. He started the war with the Red Court in book three,
right?
And 9 books later, it culminates in them taking his daughter and him having to have a showdown with all of them.
Right. Well, with Dresden, we've actually managed to see it now adapted into several different mediums. There's obviously the novels and the short stories that you do, but there's also comic books. There's also the role playing game, and there was the TV series. As the creator and as the writer, I'm always curious as to how that process looks like and is from your end of things.
From this end, we'll start with the audiobooks. From this end, I got a call from my agent one day that said, hey, I'm talking to people who might want to do an audiobook deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yay. And then the agent then calls me back and says, hey, they want to get James Marsters to read the book for you. And I said, yay. And that was my process.
Yeah.
that was about as involved with it as I was. TV, more or less the same thing. I was contacted by Morgan Gendel was the first person to show an interest in it, and so he picked up the property and pitched it and sold it. And then the studio handed it off to Robert Wolf, who was the one who actually did all the work in the field to get the show going. I was invited to read the script for the pilot episode, which was actually, it was a 2-hour episode, and it was fairly close to the plot of Stormfront.
Mm-hmm.
which I thought was really nifty. Then later it got chopped down from a two-hour episode to a one-hour, from a two-hour pilot movie to a one-hour episode of the series,
right?
Which had to dispense with several characters and so on, and it really was kind of a really choppy, weird-looking episode because of it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I mean, Robert at least, you know, would send me the script. I got invited to come up and visit the set. I did do a cameo appearance in one of the episodes where I'm one of Butters' minions in the background. And I mean, and that was kind of neat. It was really amazing seeing how many people it takes to put a show like that together. I mean, there's literally like a small army of people working on that thing.
Right.
But it was neat to go visit them, and I thought they were doing an increasingly good job as the season went on, as far as putting the show together. It would have been interesting to see where they'd taken it if they'd gone any longer.
Sure.
But it was not to be, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I like to think that even though it got canceled after the one season, it got canceled before they could do anything completely squarely with it. So
that is true.
That cup is half full.
That is true. That's a good way to look at it.
Yes.
Now, with the basically, you sort of mentioned a little bit about in the TV series it evolving. Are you surprised at how Dresden and the Dresden universe has evolved over 13 books and a TV series and role playing game and all of that?
Are you kidding? I'm shocked. No, I mean I got to tell you, it was easier writing the books when I was just writing my dumb little wizard books. that nobody really cared about. Now there's a huge fan following, and as you said, it's become this, you know, this giant thing.
Mm-hmm.
Completely shocked. I did not think. I mean, I started writing the first book just to prove to my writing teacher how wrong she was about what good books were like.
Right.
You know, from that has grown this huge series now, and I'm kind of floored. I'm really happy, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but I just kind of shake my head over it once in a while and think to myself, well, worse things could happen, you know, so.
Yeah. And now there's a few questions I sort of try to ask everyone I have on the show. First of all,
sure.
you mentioned a steampunk setting. What is it you're playing recently, or what is it you're running and game-wise?
I'm running a steampunk game that I'm going to have a steampunky story set in at some point.
Nice.
I'm going to write some actual books there. So I wanted to run the world so that I could. It kind of forces me to do some building that I wouldn't do otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Using the Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay system. I was one of the playtesters of D&D 4th edition,
mm-hmm.
where I had to sign the do not disclose agreement and had to give my firstborn to Wizards of the Coast and so
sure.
on. I wrote my review. I wrote a two-word review of D&D 4th edition, which I don't think they liked very much, because I just wrote New Coke and left it at that. But in any case, I've played some 4th edition lately. I've played some Gamma World lately, which is, oh my gosh, that is ridiculous. We do total party wipes like every Friday. It's hilarious. and that's pretty much what we've been doing lately.
Awesome. Yeah, I haven't gotten into the whole Gamma World thing. It just seemed a bit too random for me. But
It's very random and over the top, but if you approach it with the right attitude
sure.
of we're all going to die as amusingly as possible, then
okay.
it becomes a much more fun game.
Because
you either have to play it like that, or you have to play it commando style where everything is planned, you know,
yes.
and everybody is right on top of it.
Sort of reminds me of Paranoia a bit. I don't know if you ever played that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that can be incredibly random or be really, really dark.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's really hilarious or it's you know, completely grim. So.
Yeah. Now, with
on the other hand, we've had some really terrible, horrible, hideous Cthulhu campaigns that were just funny
oh, yeah.
as anything. I mean, once you can be laughing about cannibalism, you know, because it's hilarious, you know, you're doing Cthulhu right.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm a big fan of the Lovecraft stuff, and Call of Cthulhu's yeah. that can be darn entertaining, and it can also give you nightmares and not let you sleep at night. But
yeah,
fun
exactly.
stuff. Now with all these other sort of iterations of Dresden out there with the TV series, the books, all that. with the comic books. Now, do you write the comic books, or they have separate authors for the comics?
I wrote the entire script for Welcome to the Jungle,
okay,
which was the four-issue kind of preview, and it, it was this little prequel story to Stormfront.
Right.
They're writing the scripts based off of the manuscripts for Stormfront and Full Moon, and they send me those for review.
Sure.
And if anything, I think they stick to it too closely.
Okay.
Because you know, I look at that and go, hey, and you know. I really didn't know very much about storytelling there. You really could have skipped this whole part. I don't think anybody would have complained.
Yeah.
But they tend not to, so there we go. I recently did an outline for another graphic novel for Dynamite, which they're going to produce, and I wrote a fairly in-depth outline. And then there's going to be, I'm going to write it, the script is actually going to be written together with the same script writer they've been using for Stormfront Full Moon. Mm. So that'll be a new project that's coming out.
Well, it's just like with making a campaign world for D&D or any kind of a game. How is it to have other people sort of playing in your sandbox, as it were?
Oh, I get twitchy. I think anybody would.
Sure.
I mean, for TV, I kind of said, okay, these books may be my baby, but my baby's going off to college now, and,
sure.
and is going to get his hair dyed pink and get a piercing in an awkward place.
Sure.
And I just have to accept that. Working with the comics, like, and they've been very considerate with me in terms of creatively speaking, which is great, and I've had a good. That's been a fairly positive experience so far.
Excellent, excellent. Now, with these sort of other people playing in your sandbox, one thing I like to ask the writers I have on the show is, are there any sandboxes out there that you would love to go play in?
Oh, I there are several story worlds that would have so much fun romping around in. David Weber's Honor Harrington universe just cries out for someone to go play in it. Black Company. I would love to write like the new adventures of the Black Company, except I couldn't.
Yeah.
But that setting was just so wonderful, and the characters were so much fun. There's all kinds of places where I would go and play, but it's their sandbox and their creation, so you know.
Sure.
You don't go over there and do that.
Sure, and it's one thing that's great about gaming is it lets you go play in other people's sandboxes.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And now, I mean, with the RPG coming out, you're actually the first writer I've had on the show that has worked on original content that has turned into a role-playing game. With the RPG out there, now there are countless people out there, quote unquote, playing in your sandbox. You know, I mean, how does that sort of make you feel as far as that attention that people are giving to your work over the last, you know, 15 years?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
basically, I mean, folks are out having a good time, which was sort of the point of the stories to begin with, was to write things that people had fun reading, and. You know, the idea that they're going to get to go out and you know, use their own creativity to add to the stuff that I've done, you know, to have more fun, fantastic. Go for it. Do it.
Sure. And you were, when Fred Hicks went to you basically about making a role-playing game, was that something you always wanted to see happen with the Dresden stuff?
I thought he was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, it is Fred.
I mean, I thought it was an awful idea.
Yeah. It is Fred.
But
so,
he said he wanted to, and Fred actually is an old gaming buddy of mine.
Mm-hmm.
We gamed together a lot in college, and he was one of the people who I took particular delight in tormenting when he played in my game. Because really, that's what a good GM does, is he goes out of his way to make things awful for you.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the fun. But when he said he wanted to make a Dresden Files game, I thought, you know, Fred, don't feel like you have to do this because I'm your friend or anything. I think you're crazy, but I mean, if you think you can do it, no, I think it'll be great. Okay, if you say so. and I think it was a much bigger project than even he knew it was going to be. And it took him several years, but the game, when it finally came out, it was worth the wait. That they had really made something cool.
Excellent, excellent. And you haven't had the chance to play it at all, right?
No, I've gone to a couple sessions where people were playing. okay. and sort of observed. But I've read the rule books, and I steal all the things that I like to help run my own game. So,
did Fred have to fill in any blanks for you? What kind of leeway did you give him on the on that?
Well, the guys who were doing the research were so in depth, and there are pages and pages and pages of communication between us. One of the problems that I had was not so much getting them enough information as grabbing them because they had been researching the books in such depth that they could say, well, if these two things are true, then this third thing must be true also. And I'd say, don't put that in the book. In the role-playing game, I'm saving that for the book. you can't possibly say that. Oh, okay. But it's true, right? It's true. I'm not saying whether it's true or not.
Sure.
Okay, Jim.
Excellent. Well, looking at wrapping this thing up, I know we have a limited time with you. I have a series of questions that I try to ask. I'm going to put my James Lipton face on.
Okay.
In your gaming background and in your years as a gamer, what has been what sort of stands out right at this moment as your favorite game?
As my favorite game, like system?
It can be system. It could be a session you played in. It's whatever you take from the question.
Oh, you know what? The thing I enjoyed most was running a Birthright campaign under the old D&D rules.
My co-host would talk your ear off about that. I ran
a Birthright campaign that was epic. It was fun.
Nice.
You can ask Fred about it sometime if you ever talk to him.
I have never played Birthright, but I have my co-host Jeremy has always threatened to tie me down and make me play one. So.
Oh, it was awesome. Everybody in the party basically gets to be a Highlander unless you want to be just a regular old human, in which case you advance, you go up in levels faster than everybody else.
Right. Excellent. Now, along the same lines, what was your have you had a absolutely terrible time in a game system or a setting or anything like that?
Oh, I really haven't enjoyed the new D&D very much.
Okay.
I think it feels very artificial. I think that the wonder of the game system, the fantastic element of it, seems to have vanished into simulation.
Sure. And we're all pretty edition neutral on Gamer's Haven. We just want people to play a game. We don't care what edition it is.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
And we always are making the point, though, that we live in a very interesting time with D&D because you have 4th Ed, plus you can still play Pathfinder, which is the 3.6. You can go back and play the 3rd Ed books. You can go back and play 1st Ed. You can go back and play original D&D still, you know? I mean, that stuff's all available. So it's a great time. And finally, I just want to ask you real quick, one thing Gamers Haven is all about is sort of spreading the knowledge and love of the hobby of gaming. And I'm always curious as to the people I have on the show, what is it about this hobby that you love? I mean, what brings you back to it time and again?
Gaming, I think, is it's the social interaction. It's the fact that you're there with friends is what really brings you back to the gaming over and over. You know, the stories that you get to tell later, the laughs you get to have while you're doing it. People build up their communities, their social friendships around all kinds of different things. Gaming is no crazier than going to professional football games, or any of a number of other social center activities. I think what brings me back to the gaming is being with my friends and then telling the story. Mm-hmm. You've got to be making stuff up left and right. And even when you're a player, if you're a good player, you're still continually adding things to the game or creating headaches for your DM. So.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, Ghost Story comes out in hardback on July 26th, and I believe the audiobook is about a week or so after that, like August.
Yeah, a little bit after that.
Excellent, excellent. And obviously paperback is to be determined at this point, but...
it'll be next year sometime, yeah.
Yeah, but it's coming out. The role-playing game is getting tons and tons of praise. It came out last year and is getting a lot of people are salivating over it. So I want to again thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, and you have a good one.
You too.
So, what do you do for fun?
Me?
Oh, I play games.
Oh, I like games.
Whoa, no, I mean tabletop game, you know, with dice and stuff, you know, like D&D.
Measure!
Was it something I said?
Sir, I think you should leave.
Psst. Hey, buddy, don't worry. You'll find a Gamer's Haven around the corner.
The Gamer's Haven Podcast at gamershavenpodcast.com.
You've been listening to the Gamer's Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
That's not canon.